Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Richard Rossi Live. We have a very special show today, memorializing my brother Pete. Pete, as some of you know, is my youngest brother. Gone too soon. Gone way too soon. I was six when Pete was born. I was the oldest of the five. And it's kind of funny. It's April Fool's Day today. And when I first heard the news, I thought it was a cruel joke. I thought, this can't be real. I guess that's denial or shock or whatever. But we're probably still in the shock phase. But I want to thank each and every one of you who have given us such love, such amazing love. At the funeral in Pittsburgh, it was just overwhelming, the love. The priest at St. Alexis, where the funeral mass was, he said it was such a witness of God's love. All these fans and friends and musicians that waited an hour and a half, 2 hours in that line to give their sympathies to us. That touched me so deeply because my brother didn't know how much he was loved, unfortunately, when he was here. But I believe he knows now. I had a lot of childhood memories come back to me when I heard he passed, and I knew it was, unfortunately, the truth. But I remember we went to this music park by our house, Wesby Park, and he loved riding it. When he was first little, we'd go to this, it was called Kiddyland. The little dips were smaller, and the rides were a lot less scary than the big park. And he wanted to ride the big dips, but he wasn't quite tall enough. But I remember the final summer of that park, it was 1977, and he was big enough to finally go on one of the bigger coasters. He was 8 years old and so excited to ride it with me. I'll never forget it. And I told him, this is kind of like the way it is with life, you know. You go up, 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 and then you go down that hill, and then up and down, and you buckle up tight. Every sign is buckle up tight, you know, keep your seatbelt on. And that's kind of what this has felt like for all of us who love Pete. March 2nd was my birthday. It was kind of like a high, you know. Our eternal grace, our ministry here, had a beautiful affirmation towards me of giving gifts and prayers and a really nice birthday, and that was that night. And then the following morning, I got the call, and that was like such a low after that high on the roller coaster of life. But I started remembering one of the last times I was with him, my last visit home, and we went out to hear a guitar player. He liked George Lynch. And I had the feeling that I really should go with him. He asked me to go. And I think I had something else on the calendar back in Pittsburgh, but I was like, I felt a strong impulse, like, go. Every moment with him is precious. And we went, heard this great guitarist down in Pittsburgh, George Lynch, at a club called The Altar, because it used to be a church and they made it into a club. And then we went to Primanti Brothers and had sandwiches, and we talked about a lot of stuff, but one of the things we did talk about was he brought up a lot of childhood stories. And I think when you're little, you remember things the best, those first impacts, those first images, those first emotions. So a lot of things when he was really, really little, he even remembered better than I did, because I was the oldest brother. But he told me he remembered so well our walks with our dog. He loved this dog that we got, Snowball. And there's a girl across the street named Debbie, really sweet girl, my little playmate. And she said, Dickie, my dog had a puppy, and I want you to come get it. I want to give you a puppy. Had puppies. And so I went over with Pete, and we got puppy, Snowball. And we walked that dog every day. Pete and I would walk down the lower side of Frankfurt Avenue where we lived to this park. And I told Pete that St. Francis said animals are equals and we got to treat them like people. And we sure did. We put that dog on the swings with us, the slide with us, the merry-go-round with us. Pete was reminding me of this one of the last times I saw him, and he said, "Do you remember when I thought he was having fun swinging from his leash from the slide?" And you said, "Oh, no, that's not fun. He could hang himself," and I got him down. But he was remembering this all and laughing. It's almost like he was looking back on all these happy memories and stuff. And he loved animals ever since then. He had two dogs he loved a lot, Lucas and Maggie. But I know most of you that are listening know him not from those kind of childhood memories I do as a brother, but you know him because he was a stellar guitar player. And even if he wasn't my brother, I would unequivocally say he was the best rock guitarist, heavy metal hard rock guitarist ever played with. And I want to show you some evidence of that now, and we'll be going to the phones shortly. If you want to call in about, we'll be going to the phones probably maybe 10 minutes or so. You can call in at, it's a New York number, 347-637-2379, 347-637-2379. You could call in, an hour and 5-10 minutes or whatever. If you call in now, you'll have a bit of a wait, but it'll be okay. But I wanted to tell y'all that he was not only an immeasurably talented guitarist, as you all know, but also with mixing, recording music. And when I had a friend that had a recording studio in Pittsburgh, Jerry Reed, and this guy was fantastic, a real legend. I mean, he did a lot of hit records, Play That Funky Music, and Morning, worked with Maureen McGovern, Morning After, a lot of these great songs growing up. And Jerry had a recording studio in New Brighton in his house. And I asked Pete if he'd want to go down and record an album of gospel rock with me. It was a lot of the material I did with my high school friend John Walker. And Pete and John Walker were my two probably music collaborators of my recordings that I worked with the most. John with the writing and the performing, and Pete with the recording of the music with his different instruments he put on. And John and Pete both recently went to heaven, John on January 30th and Pete on March 3rd. But I want to show you for a moment some evidence of how brilliant Pete was with an excerpt of a song, the first song we did together recording. And it sowed a seed in him that he wanted to have his own studio and record. And that's another part of his legacy. Because I said, you'd be great at doing your own studio. You have such a feel for recording and different instruments and tracks and harmonies, how everything works together. I had some resources at the time to help him with that and get him a mixing board and some things. And he said, I don't know how I'm going to pay you back for all this, for the mixing board of expenses. I said, you know what? The debt's forgiven. Just pay it forward and maybe you can help others sometime. And he went above and beyond paying that back because he helped many, many bands that didn't have, the money to record. He would give them extra hours and even play his amazing, instrumentation tracks for them. But anyways, when we were working on this gospel rock material for New Wine, The Kingdom Is Near, I could give him directions of sounds I heard in my head, and I could give the most bizarre descriptions, and he could do it. He could do it instantly, whatever sound. And I'm going to give you an example of, there's a song I'm going to play, not the whole song for time's sake, but just to the end part. It's called Jesus Is My Song. It's a song I wrote, and I performed this with John Walker acoustically many times. And when John heard what Pete did with this, John was in Memphis. I played it over the phone from Ohio to John. He was just blown away. But for some reason, at the end, fading out of the song, I heard in my head the sound of dolphins, that I heard dolphins make these beautiful sounds underwater to communicate. And I tried to imitate it, and I think I played a little bit of it for him, but I've said it's like a... I was trying to make the sound, and lo and behold, in 5 minutes with a wah-wah pedal and some buttons, he was able to do it. So he was a genius, as many of you who played with him know, with music. I think I'll play you an excerpt at the end of this song. It's called Jesus Is My Song. I'm playing rhythm guitar and singing. My brother, who's a Tony, who's a tremendously talented drummer. All of us play music. Tony's a great drummer, plays on this. And Tim Scovern, I believe, is playing bass. Tim was a childhood friend of Pete's and was in his first band along with Rick Romanelli and Pierre. So Tim's on bass, Tony on drums, I'm on rhythm and singing, and Pete singing harmony along with, I think, Riff from Sanction singing harmony. I want you to hear the phenomenal electric guitar lead on this. Is one of the very first things we recorded, Jesus Is My Song. And I want you to hear the dolphin sound at the end. Let me play a little bit of this for you, okay? This is Pete on lead. Listen to this lead by Pete here. I told him dolphin sounds, and this is what he got. He gets it. Listen to this. Wow. Wow. He was so good. So good. That lead was so amazing. That's one example of many, many. And he played at the time he died. He was in at least five bands, and all great. He played all styles. But I'm going to go to your calls now and your messages in a moment after this break. After our little theme music, I'll be back in about 20 seconds. The lines are now open. as they promised us 15 minutes in, they would open up the line. So you can call in live, and you can talk to us here on the show at guest call-in number, area code 347-637-2379. 347-637-2379. Be right back with all of you. Welcome back. Welcome back to Richard Rossi Live. And I see a message coming in from Mike Hobler, a drummer who played on many stuff with Pete. And I had the honor to play with Mike, and I think he might be joining us shortly. But let me go to line one. This is someone very special to this whole story. Without her, I wouldn't be here. Without her, Pete would not have been here. She's the one that gave birth to Pete, my mother, Dorothy Rossi. And I remember when Pete came home as a baby, I was so happy as the big brother to help with his bottle and all his little things. I have very vivid memories of him coming home and what a happy day that was. And his baptism, I remember that as well. Our Uncle Guy and Aunt Louise were his godparents, and so many memories, it's hard to believe he's gone already. Lots of calls coming in, so let's get right to them. Mom, can you hear me? You're live.
I hear you.
Well, thank you for joining us, and thank you for joining the show today.
Well, I'd like to share not only his musical genius, of course, we miss him, we all miss him, but he was also a very talented artist. He painted many oil paintings. He and his brother Tony were very good at art and did quite a few oil paintings, and I've been giving them away to his good friends as a remembrance of him rather than my having them there just lying around collecting dust. I wanted to share them, and so I have one for you, Richard, an ocean scene. So most people don't know that he was also an artist and painted oil paintings. So that I'd like to share too. But he was a very right-brained person, very, very artistic.
And he was very rare as well that he had the left-brain side too. And I remember he won the accounting competition and a trip to Disneyland because he was so great at math. In fact, I think our cousin Bobby was telling me that Pete actually tutored him. He was telling me at the funeral Pete actually tutored him with math. So he could have been a very successful CPA, but he followed his own beat of his own drum and with the music and everything. But he was talented way beyond just one talent, wasn't he?
Yes, he was very good. He won national honors. Well, he won Western Pennsylvania, took first place. He took the state first place. And he took national honors in accounting, had a trip to Anaheim, California, Anaheim Hilton, and he took third place with all 50 states competing. He took third place. So he was a genius, a very high IQ, and he could have been successful in many things.
Well, in light of his short life, as much as it might not have seemed practical to some in terms of his not doing the accounting that he was so good at, I think, you know, God knew he was only going to be here a short time, so he did follow his passion for the music that he loved. And I think that was the happiest when I would see him play guitar. It was like he was in his bliss, and he was so happy, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. And he was good in the accounting field, but he said he didn't think he could stand sitting at a desk all day. He didn't want to sit at a desk. He wanted to do things. So that's what he did.
And you had to, you more than anyone knew all his idiosyncrasies and little habits with the hot sauce and all the crazy things he ate.
Oh, yes. He was given a gift of all these vials of spices like oregano, basil, and rosemary, and so on. But they were all pretty full. One was empty, and that was the red pepper. That one's totally empty.
Well,
so
I think
he
our,
had
Josh
all kind of hot sauces and anything spicy, and he'd make. He liked to cook, so he would bring these things for me to sample. And I would say, oh, very good, just a little bit too much pepper there, you know. So I always had to compliment him first before I told him that what, you know, it was a little too spicy for me. But that was his thing, and he liked it that way. So, you know, that was one of the things he liked to do, is just cook and try things.
Mm.
He called me his prep cook.
Yeah, it was another form of creativity for him.
Yeah, I was a prep cook. I had to chop onions, chop garlic. He had me doing those things, and he was the chef. He told me I'm the prep cook. So.
Yeah, I remember one of the last times I arrived, it was in the middle of the night, and I just wanted to go to sleep. And he said, I got to make you a sandwich, my special sandwich, and all these different things on it, like a Dagwood spicy sandwich. And I thought, well, I got to eat this sandwich. This is kind of part of receiving his love and his gift of doing this, you know.
Yes, that's the way he was.
Well, thanks for calling in, Mom. We love you, and I know you want to stay in the green room and listen to the show. We have a bunch of other calls as well, so thanks for calling in.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Bye.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We're going to go to line two. Line two is area code 609, first three digits, 348. Area code 609-348. Welcome to the show, and who is this?
Hi, Rich. This is Mike Hobler.
Oh, Mike, I'm so happy you called in. For our listeners, you played with Pete on so many different recordings and bands, BS, and you and I and Pete did some recording together in the studio. What's a memory of Pete, or what are your thoughts about this? I know we're probably still in the shock phase, really.
Very much so. First of all, I would like to give my love and condolences to Dot, your amazing mother.
Oh,
it was so great to hear her voice right then. And I think next, the clip that you played of Pete with the dolphin sounds a few moments ago, so Pete, you know, so typically Pete, but BS, Begetting Son, was the name of the band. But we did a tune called Clouds, where Pete was able to conjure up what clouds sound like in the same manner. I would encourage everybody to go look for that online. So amazing. I had actually played it for a friend of mine today, and they were just always waiting for it to, like, break in to, like, no, it's clouds. They never break in. It's totally transformational. Such amazing playing. There's so many memories with Pete. Recent ones, I moved out to New Jersey about 15 years ago, so, you know, we hadn't seen each other much, but we'd really been in contact a lot lately, and he had planned several times to come out here and visit his last text to me was, I love you, brother. And it's what I'll say forever.
That's so sweet.
We've been trying to get the band back together, if you will. So many memories, Rich, with Pete playing with you, and he was, you know, an amazing experience at Graffiti.
That was so, you were so great. Oh my God, your drumming was so great.
Thank you. But you know, with BS, our trips to New York City, you know, trying to make things go, and you know, we played at CBGB's twice.
That's the iconic cool club to play at. Right there.
It's legendary. And we can actually, there, you know, if anybody was ever there, you know, they know the stories of like the bathroom and things. I won't get into that. It's iconic but equally disgusting at the same time. You know, we were just dropping off press kits to every agent, you know, cold call. You're just like, here you go. But, you know, him beating me constantly at Sega Hockey, you know, all the times at Shark Attack Studios, you know, all the time we spent in there. But maybe the biggest memory, I don't know if it's the biggest, but one of them was when BS got together, Zach Sestili, myself, and Pete, we were going to do an original band. And, you know, I asked these two amazing musicians to get together. Everybody knows how amazing Pete was as a guitar player and an overall musician, so I don't need to go into that. But when we decided we were serious, we rented a house in the Outer Banks in, you know, in North Carolina. And we went down there with some of Pete's mobile recording equipment. We set up a studio, and we spent a week writing, recording demos, you know, late night beach music sessions. We spent, you know, 14 hours sometimes actually just playing music in that place. Such an amazing creative environment, with Zach and Rhonda was there, and we probably laid down demos for about 20 tunes that we later went into Pete's Shark Attack studio and recorded. And but there's so much creativity. That band was so something special. It was truly amazing. And
it really was there, Pete, too. He loved playing with you and Dee. And someone posted, Tatiana posted, speaking of you guys, you and Z and Pete, this really cool video. I know we talked about it, but here's a little excerpt for the listeners of Spinal Cracker.
Yeah.
Here it is.
Yeah.
With that goatee, rocking it out, Mike. That's a cool, cool sound.
That was the goatee, yeah. Yeah, and that can be found pretty easily on YouTube. If you just punch in Spinal Cracker on YouTube, and then Rossi, Pete Rossi, I think it'll come right up.
Great. Yeah.
So please,
so
everybody, check that out.
Yeah, I just did that, and here it is.
Excellent.
Great. That's great to know. And by the way, there is a Pete Rossi tribute site that our dear friends put up that's sharing these kind of things. Tim Gasper, who played with Pete in Sanction, mm-hmm. and him and his wonderful wife, Trisha, have done so much. We're so grateful to them. And there it is. Facebook.com, Peter J. Rossi. That is great. Zach, it looks like Zach posted this. That's so great. I'm so glad he posted that. Wow.
Zach
and,
is, you know.
That, you guys had a great chemistry together, the three of you.
We did. We did. It was really something special. Honestly, I haven't experienced that since. Yeah, I've played in a lot of great bands and worked with a lot of great musicians, but we just had something special.
Yeah, it's funny. The last time I was with Pete, he talked about wanting to come up to Jersey and see you, and he talked about how you played in shows up there, and he just cherished every second with you.
And I as well with him.
Wow. Well, I'm so grateful you called in, Mike. I was finding some of the music that we recorded together as well.
Oh, great.
I think I have some here. There's a solo at the end of this song we did in the Shark Attack Studios that you go nuts on the drums and he goes nuts on the guitar. It's called Nautical Girl.
Yeah,
oh, here
I remember
it is.
That.
I remember right before we recorded this, Mike, he's like, I want Hobler to play with us on this. He's so awesome. He has the nuances for some of your stuff. It'll be amazing. And this song, I'm using the metaphor of not navigating a girl. You know, it's a song from a novel, these two characters, Jeremiah and Angel. But at the end, he just goes nuts on a solo, and you two are like in perfect chemistry. I think it's coming up here. Can you still hear me, Mike?
I can.
Okay, I hear this. Also playing that killer bass line too, man.
I hear that.
Okay, here comes the solo. This solo, oh my God. Amazing. Amazing Pete solo coming up here. People tell me they love that end part, what he does there. I mean, it's kind of like a...
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's just amazing. Well, thanks for joining us, Mike. God bless you for calling in. I better get to some of these other lines. We have about 20 people lined up, and I'm sorry to those of you waiting for the wait. But great chatting with you, Mike.
And, you know, yeah. Hail Pete. There's so much more I want to say, but I'm going to listen to everybody else say it. So thanks, Rich, and thanks for doing this, and thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome, Pete, and I love you, and bless you, Mike.
Love you too, Rich. Bless you.
Bye-bye. Let's go to line 3, area code 412, and thanks for your patience, area code 412-956. And people, you've been so kind to wait, as well as the funeral. People told me it took an hour and a half, 2 hours, 1,000 people at the funeral home for the viewing. 412-956, you're live. Who is this?
I guess it would be I. My name is John.
Hey, John, thank you for calling in, John.
No, it's John with a J, but that's okay. No, actually, it's funny you would say that because I remember the day of his viewing, I worked hoop, skip, and a jump. I used to work with Pete over at Wright Automotive.
Really?
And I got there at 10 after, and the place was already lined out the door. It was crazy.
Was it really? Yeah, I remember when you guys came through the line, I had no idea at first, and then people were getting in the line. They were telling me it takes 90 minutes. Now, just for our record, because we're going to keep this for people as a permanent keepsake for Pete, would you mind giving me your full name?
John McMurray.
John McMurray. Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming to the viewing.
Right.
Yeah,
he
and my mom lives right behind Wright.
I'm going to make this brief. I'm actually at work, so I'm going to make this brief. But he was so humble. This is the job that he did wasn't real upper right, wasn't real glamorous, but he did it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd go out and he'd invite me to his shows, and I'd just watch him shred a guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And this man was so humble because I was diagnosed with myasthenia gravis about 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he was sometimes more concerned about me than, you know, he was having the headaches and other problems, and he was always concerned about me. And I was always like, just amazing to watch him. This guy works his butt off, goes and plays, and he's still concerned about other people's issues. And that was just the kind of guy he was. And I just wanted you to know, I mean, I absolutely loved your brother. I think he was a great guy. I mean, everybody at work missed him when he left, when he quit working there. The one day he brought his guitar in, and for an hour he just shred the guitar. It was amazing just to watch him do what he does, I just wanted to throw that in there. I got to fly now because, like I said, my doorbell here's ringing, which means I got a customer at the counter. But I just wanted to tell
you
guys, I really appreciated your brother. He was an awesome guy. He's missed. And, my prayers go out to you and your family.
Oh, John, it's so kind to you. Pete loves you, and we're very grateful for that. And thank you for taking the time to call in and everything. I won't keep you. I know you have work there, but I really appreciate you waiting and calling in.
No problem, bud. Hey, you guys take care of your mom and you and everybody else. My prayers go out to you, and hope to talk to you again.
Oh, so kind of you, John. God bless you. And now we're going to line 4, area code 412, first 3367. I won't give your full number. We have a lot of 367s, but it's 36738. That should kind of let you know. 412-367-38. Welcome to Richard Rossi Live. Who is this?
This is Tim.
Tim Gasper. Oh,
this
thank
is,
you for calling
this is
in,
he.
Tim.
You got it, Rich.
And
no
thank
problem.
You for this tribute site. That was such a wonderful idea.
Yes. Yeah, it just hit me, several days after the funeral and stuff, that there's
mm-hmm.
just so much material out there of just cell phone footage of him playing, at local clubs on Friday and Saturday nights. Everyone has these, just sitting on their phone. So I'm hoping that we get a lot of people that will just put them on the site, and then, as you feel you'd like to scroll through and listen to him shred some, Van Halen or, whatever band he was performing that night.
Well, he sure loved you, not as a friend, as well as performing with you with Sanction. And, I can't tell you how much your loyalty to our family has meant. You have been like a rock type. You're a friend that's like a rock through ups and downs.
You.
Our family's had more drama than a reality show through the years. But you are always there as a friend, and you have such a wonderful wife. And what are some of your memories of Pete, if you have a moment to share?
No, sure. There's just so many, the different bands. I met Pete back in 1982 in Carson Middle School.
Mm.
And pretty much from then on, my gosh, there probably hasn't been a month or two that we wouldn't talk, text, or see each other, since that seventh grade, dating back to probably the first memory is him, the eighth grade talent show, pulling off Crazy Train note for note, which, to the rest of us who just kind of played an instrument, that was just, unbelievable.
And was this in middle school at Carson when he did Crazy
Train?
Yeah. Wow.
Seventh or eighth grade, I forget which one. But it was, he was very young to be playing this kind of material, of course.
Wow.
So that was awesome. And then as Mike Hobler was talking about the CBGB trips, I have my claim to fame now is Pete borrowed one of my speakers and it got stolen from CBGB's. He waited about a month and he's like, hey, Boss Man. That was my nickname from him.
Yeah,
he's like,
you always call you Boss Man.
Yeah, he's like, I got some bad news. I'm like, what? He's like, that speaker, it never came back from New York.
Oh,
and it was,
geez.
You know, it was a $100 speaker. I bought it used, so it wasn't a big deal. But, you know, now that's part of his legacy with me, so I'll take it.
Yeah. Now, you was Sanction the first group that you played with them? I know we played together, Graffiti's. You played in different bands. Was that your first actual collaboration with Pete?
Oh, no, all through high school, pretty much. We did the talent shows and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember what band names we had, but, yeah, me, Pete, Mike Chapman. Remember
good old
that
Mike.
Name? Yeah, and various drummers. Justin McCartney sang
mm-hmm.
for us.
I remember Justin, yeah.
Yep, he was just over your mom's house helping me with figuring out some of the equipment, what's working and what's not. So he's still around and helping out.
Wow, that's great. Well, he loved, and a trivia for our listeners on the one Sanction CD. Sanction was heavy metal band for, and by the way, Sanction had so many fans. I had someone from different countries, people from different countries contacted me that loved Sanction, the Christian heavy metal band that Pete did with you.
Oh,
and,
nice.
Yeah, it's just amazing the stuff that people are sharing from all over the world. And you got a Sanction open for Striper and played before thousands of people. But how did you get involved in Sanction? Because I think wasn't Chris Bedford the first bassist, and then you were you the second or third? I know.
No,
Chris
I was
over and also played bass.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it was Chris Bedford, and then he and Kevin, the singer, left at the same time. That's when they got Tim Scovert and Riff
mm-hmm.
in the band. And then at some point, I'm not sure what happened with Tim, but, you know, he ended up leaving. And I told this story at the wake, you know. Pete called me. I did the sound and lights for them for years.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me and said, you know, hey, why don't you play bass in the band? And I was like, I don't even, you know, like I told you before, I didn't even own a bass at this time. I'm like, Pete, I haven't played in 2-3 years, and I'm not all that great, you know. I just didn't feel like I was even in the same caliber to play with them. But yeah, you know, like I told you, he just wanted our friendship, you know, for me to be in that band.
Oh, well,
so
you're very humble because you did very well. You played very well.
Well, compared to him and Tony, I feel like I was a slacker. So.
Well, you know, my listeners may know all of us play. Tony's a great, amazing drummer. Joe is an amazing blues guitarist. I'll probably play a song in a moment if I feel up to it that I just wrote this week for Pete. Plays organ and everything. So Tony was the drummer in Sanction when you joined, right?
Yes. Yep. Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was, you know, in the whole time. Yeah. Yeah. Those are some great. I'll give you a quick memory of that one. I was thinking about. We were going to a show. We're in Pittsburgh and it was in Mid Ohio. So I don't remember the city or town. But do you remember the school bus we had?
Yes.
We did a Partridge Family bus where we took the front of it, put some couches in, and then the whole back was for the gear. We had all the whole band gear, all the sound, all the lights. It was packed. And we're heading up the highway, up 79, and I'm driving. Got a convoy behind me of a couple cars that were coming to help also, and the engine catches on fire.
Ooh.
As we're going up the road, and we pull over, and Tony grabs the fire extinguisher. I open the hood, and he points it at the engine, and it trickles out the bottom. It doesn't spray out at all. We're like basically like throwing flour over this big flame, hoping we don't explode.
Whoa.
So after we did get the fire out, so yeah, we were figuring all hope's lost, but no, not in Pete's mind. He's like, all we got to do is go rent a U-Haul, unload the stuff from here to there. You know, so someone went, you know, an hour and a half later, came back with a U-Haul. It's about 100 degrees. We're all baking out in the sun, and we did the show that night.
Wow. Well, he always had a way of thinking outside the box and moving forward. At the wake, someone was telling a story about down south his wipers quit, but he took his fishing rod line and rigged it up to keep the wipers going by pulling
yes.
on the fishing line in the cab of the van or whatever.
Uh-huh.
It's interesting, the whole sanction thing, because one of my last times with him, he said, let's ride, you know, wanted me to ride with him in the van, and he had old Sanction CDs.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And he told me some of the struggles he was having, and he said that he was playing old Sanction songs that he wrote, that it was speaking to him as if God was comforting him or speaking to him as if a third party wrote it. And it was encouraging him, and it was like he was appreciating the music as if the first time, like he was listening to it as a outsider.
Mm-hmm.
And one particular song was about, from Isaiah, about mounting up with wings as eagles.
Yeah, soar on wings.
This one.
Yeah, it was called Soar on Wings. Yep.
Yeah. This is it right here. I'll let our listeners hear a moment of it. But this is the song.
What a great song, huh?
Yes, it is. Yeah, that came back into his life because a riff put that from our old, you know, crappy cassette onto a disc, and had just given it to him literally over the summer.
Yeah.
So that's
isn't
that how
amazing?
That.
Yeah, that's where I got it too. That's where this very copy came from, riff. Yeah.
Yeah. So we owe Riff a lot of thanks for that because. You know, from what you and now, or he, Riff and now you said, that really seemed to kind of change his heart hearing his old, but you know, his old lyrics that he wrote.
Yeah,
and,
isn't that
you
something?
Know, it kind of moved him, and, you know, I think it really, like I said, changed his heart lately.
It did, because he was struggling, and he told me the stuff he wrote about God was kind of convicting him of his own need to get spiritually connected again, and...
Mm-hmm.
And I told him I had the same experience, you know, with stuff I wrote back with, you know, some of the gospel rock stuff I did with Pete myself. When I would listen to it, would convict me and speak to me. You know?
Yeah.
So I told him I relate, you know, because when we're young and zealous and our faith is high, we have that holy, hot faith, you know, and then we get beat up by life and we struggle. And that was really beautiful how the work that you guys did helped him at the end to feel that again.
Yeah, that one kind of brings a tear to my eye now hearing that, I gotta tell you, every time I play it.
Me too. Uh-huh. I was just reading about tears in Science Report that it's like has these chemicals that help us when we're feeling grief or stress. It's like good when we cry and not to stuff it. My doctor said, don't stuff it, let that, it's okay if you cry, don't stuff it, you know. Well, Mallory, I'm grateful for you calling in and everything you've done, Tim.
No, you're welcome. Like, you guys, your whole family, you know, basically treated me like a, you know, another son since, you know, seventh grade. And I'm always welcome in your house. I just kind of knock on the door and yell, "Hi, Dot, Tim."
Well, you're our
in.
Brother from another mother.
So
and
I
love
appreciate
your family
you.
Too.
Thank
your
you.
Family
I appreciate
is such
you
a great
guys.
Family.
Thank you, and your brother will be missed forever. You know, we loved him so much.
Well, thanks, Tim. Thank you. He loved you too. Thank you.
All right, Rich. See, now we're both going. All right. I'll see you when you get back into Pittsburgh.
Okay,
sometime.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. And we're going to area code 919, first three,
me.
810. Welcome to Richard Rossi Live.
Hey, Rich. Tim Scovern.
Oh, Tim. Oh, my God. Talked about you about two or three times on the show already.
Yeah, I was listening, man. I've been listening.
Yeah.
Loving the songs, buddy. Loving the songs. Old school.
Yeah, and so, am I remembering wrong, or weren't you in the very, very first band with Pete, with Rick Romanelli?
I was in the band. I met Pete same time Tim Gasper did. I was meeting him. Saw him at the. I met him in seventh grade. Saw him do the talent show, and I recall besides Crazy Train, he did a second song, and he played the guitar. They did Charlie Daniels' "Devil Went Down to Georgia." Pete played all the guitar, perfect. Seventh grader nailing it, and they had to have. One of the teachers played the violin part because it was so hard, and Pete was able to play it over the guitar part with no problem at all. So that kind of shows you, even at a young age, he was keeping up with adults. But, yeah, I mean, I remember I met him there. I was in his first band, Fragile. I think I was the second bass player. Apparently, I came in after the scene on a couple bands, but always glad to jam with Pete and, you know, that guy had talent. I remember him telling me, yeah, I've been playing since I was like 5 or 6, and besides my father, he was the one who got me going. I remember seeing him at that talent show going, man, I really want to play. I just got a guitar at Christmas.
Mm.
And I think the talent show was like in the spring. I could be wrong, but, just impressive. I was in bands throughout my life with him, and we'd write music together. And I still remember one of the first songs he played for me, just like hanging out one day, was, Willie Nelson on the Road Again.
Oh, really?
And I think it's so funny that, you know, everyone knows Pete as a metal guy,
mm-hmm.
but I used to always tease him and say, man, you know, you write too many love songs. Because he was a fan of the acoustic guitar, Spanish guitar. We used to listen
mm-hmm.
to jazz music. I remember listening to, I don't know if it was Duquesne or University of Pittsburgh on Sunday nights, used to have a jazz show for like 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
We would always get together in our, you know, late teens, early 20s, and we'd listen to jazz. I mean, you know, I remember Chick Corea, 1971 or something, just some crazy off-the-wall, like, jazz fusion and, you know, Weather Report and Jaco Pastorius. And we used to listen to so many different things besides metal that it was such a big influence. And, you know...
Oh, are you still there, Tim?
I'm sorry, buddy. I must have bumped the mute button. He completely absorbed music. Any great musician, you watch any documentary on any great musician, and they take music from every area.
Mm-hmm.
And Pete was one of those guys. He could just, you know, he could hear something. I mean, we get into these little drum contests, just like doing different beats, and we go back and forth. I mean, he just oozed musical ability. I mean, that's the only word I could think of. It just overpoured out of his heart, and God really blessed him. I mean, as far as his ability, you know, as his technique, I know the only people I can compare him to are professionals. And, like, you know, that are on records, and, like, you know, Eddie Van Halen and some of his biggest influences, like Ritchie Blackmore and Randy Rhoads.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was able to do one of the things, the most famous guitar players, Randy Rhoads from Ozzy's first couple solo albums, was so good that he would actually be able to double track and do his solos more than once, 2 and 3 times. And Pete had that ability. He had the ability to play his same solo. He wouldn't just improv it. He would just double it and triple it. And it would make it that nice, thick sound that you really, really wanted. And, you know, not a lot of people can do that. That's a very, very rare skill to be able to do. And, you know, it always amazed me. I was always in awe of him and his ability to be able to, I mean, he could sit down and hear any song. Oh yeah. And he'd figure it out, you know, and under an hour he'd have a whole song. And I'm not talking like a little simple, like Bryan Adams, Bruce Springsteen song. I'm talking like a Yes song, you know, Joe Satriani song. He could take anything and figure out every little detail. And that was really impressive to me, is how well he would be able to go through any piece of music and figure it out. And, you know, he could sit down and teach you it. You know, he would just go, here, let's do this. And to this day, like, I've been, obviously since he's passing, I've been really, you know, he's been nonstop. He's always had some of his music always been on my playlist, but now it's like nonstop. And a lot of his older music's coming back up on my playlist, so people have shared a lot more music with me that I didn't have recorded. I have all his CDs, and, you know, I've you know, played them for many, many people who are always, always blown away by his talent. But, yeah, I was in Fragile. We were teenagers, and I joined Sanction in our early 20s. Mm-hmm. And it was just a fun time. A lot of people don't know about the other side of him, about the country, about the jazz. Like I said, at the funeral, you know, he played in the ska band with us. We had a horn section. Gosh, I don't even remember the name of that band.
That's awesome. Yeah, yeah, and you were good at such a young age too, Tim. I mean, you got good really fast, I thought, on guitar, bass, whatever you did.
Well, thank you. I you know, my big three influences: my dad, your dad, and Pete.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so,
I remember
my dad
talking about you, that you were one of his best students. You know, I remember you came over for lessons with my dad, didn't you?
Yeah, for a couple of years. Yeah, I remember I'd take the school bus home with Pete sometimes, and we'd have a lesson, and, you know, right after school, and then I'd go hang out with Pete. I practically lived there for a long, long, long time. You know, going over there and having some Dots food, and, you know, hanging out with Joe and Tony, and, you know,
and you had
your
such
sister
great
all
energy.
The time.
I remember you literally, you were like, great at getting the crowd fired up. I remember literally the crowd was happy and elated before they even played. If you gave the opening announcement, you were like beyond the WWF guy. Are you ready to rumble? You remember you'd fire up the crowd. You remember that you have your tie-dye shirt and you had kind of almost like a fro and just firing them up.
Yeah, I would say things like, all right, back from their South African tour. And they weren't in South Africa. Or back from the Ukraine and things like that. So, yeah, that was before I was in the band, just to announce them, because, you know, I've been blessed with a loud voice. so, but, yeah, that was always fun. And, you know, we stayed in touch over the years, and just so sad and sorry. I mean, just listen, you know, I was sitting here with my son and listening to your conversation, listening to your mom and Tim Gasper and some of the, you know, the other calls. And, you know, I'm breaking down hearing Mike Hoegler. I mean, I remember those days. I'd hear them. With, you know, with BS, and, you know, I just went, wow. I mean, this stuff is all-time classic music right here. This is true musician's music. And, you know, Pete, you know, when he played with other guys that could keep up with him, there was, the sky was the limit, you know? You know, I always felt like I held him back. And I don't feel like I'm that bad, but, I mean, compared to Pete, it was just like I felt like a rookie. You know, that's how it always felt to me, that, you know, I could always learn something new. And, you know, even in the later days, I would play him some of the stuff I was writing, and you know, just he would give me advice, and he'd ask me, hey, can I borrow that, or I really like that, or how'd you do that? So we'd bounce ideas. But, you know, I would come up with a simple idea, and Pete was the master who would turn it into something that was just way beyond what I ever heard in my own head.
Mm. Yeah, he was amazing. I remember playing for John Walker, some of the stuff we did, the Christian rock stuff that John and I did acoustically, and when he saw what Pete took it to with the lead guitar and stuff, and I always felt like he was so, like you, just so high above everyone else with his abilities in the lead playing, and I even went to him for lessons, and he's like, why are you coming to me for lessons, you know? It's almost like... the whole thing about where I think Jesus goes to John to get baptized. He's like, why are you coming to me to be baptized? I should be going to you.
Right.
Like, you're the older brother. I was like, trust me, I want to learn from you. And I would go over at his house that him and Rhonda had down there in Perrysville and, you know, give him a few bucks and say, I want you to teach me a little bit because I can't touch you on lead guitar.
Well, I'll tell you what, Rich, I do remember back in the early Fragile days, back when we were teens, we did one of your songs. It was Light on the Road.
I was so proud of you to do it. You did it so great.
Yeah, we turned it like a little bit more rock in, and because you know, I think you were doing it acoustically, and we obviously made it a little more hard rock edge. But yeah, I still remember, you know, I mean, opening for Striper at Metropole and
you
know, Bride was one of our favorite all time bands. I mean, you know, we like Striper, but Bride, we had seen them at this festival called Cornerstone in '88 or '89, and I know you got
in Chicago.
But I remember, and I'll give you a little story that not a lot of people know about. Tony, your brother, knows about this. So we're at we're watching a band, and they actually were encouraging. It was a Christian festival, 4-day festival, great, great vibe, great music, you know, a lot of love, you know, God's in the air, and, you know, just saw Barren Cross, Blood Good, Sacred Warrior, but Bride was, you know, White Cross, one of our favorites, though, besides the Resurrection Band, which you got us turned on to as well, was this band called Bride. And they were so hard and heavy, and they would actually invite people up. They'd put up signs during certain parts of the song saying, come on up. And they would pull people up onto the stage to stage dive. And Pete didn't want to do it. So I go up there, and at the time I had glasses. I took the glasses off because I didn't want to break and put them in my pocket. And I stage dive as far as I can, and the crowd parts. And the only person, as I crush somebody underneath me, I get up, and it's Pete. And I have no idea. I mean, literally everyone moved because I'm a fairly big guy. So I went to, you know, and I was like, dude, I'm so sorry. But, like, no, everyone else moved out of the way. And to this day, you know, even we were talking about that a couple months ago, just, you know, of all the chances of me hitting him. I couldn't see because I had my glasses off at the time. And I just dove out into this dark crowd and crushed him. But we got up laughing. You know, he was okay and I was okay. And, you know, we just had a good old time.
That is so funny. Yeah. You guys are just destined to keep crashing into each other, man.
Yeah, we always did, man. We always did. And he would, you know, we'd reach out throughout the years and you know, talk about stuff. And, I wasn't in bands with him in the later part of the life, but we would always talk about music and we'd always talk about, you know, the personal side and, you know, the struggles of being a musician and how, you know, it wasn't as easy as everyone makes it out to be. And, always asking for advice. And I said, you know, why don't you just focus on you, man? Just be you. Don't worry about it. And, you know, your talent alone should take you through it. And, you know, the thing is Pete was a hardworking musician. And I remember your dad was like that, too. I remember, you know, as a matter of fact, you just reminded me of something. I remember Pete used to play with your dad in a country band every once in a while. Your dad would play steel guitar. And Pete would play the guitar. And, God, I can't remember the guy's name. There was another guy that would play bass and stuff, a real heavy set guy. But, and
oh,
I mean,
Jim
so
Cray. I think it was Jim Cray.
Oh, my God. I remember that name forever. But, yeah, so that was just amazing to me that, you know, you put a piece of music in front of Pete. I mean, he used to – a lot of people don't know. He went to the – there was a gifted school in Pennsylvania that they only let, like, I think two or three people a year from different school districts go. And Pete was chosen. It was the Pennsylvania school. Was it the Governor's School or something like that? The Pennsylvania School of Arts or something?
The Governor's School of the Arts. Thank you for remembering that because, wow, you helped me remember it. I'm sure my mom – is enjoying hearing that reference because a lot of these things, you know, time goes by and people forget. Yeah, he was chosen for Governor's School of the Arts, yes.
And that's a rare, like I said, I think each school district only got like one or two people to go per year.
Mm-hmm.
And he was chosen and, you know, he went there and he came back and he was even better because he was around other great talented people. And it was in multiple fields. It wasn't just music. It was art and I think dance and some other things. But I mean, he came back and, you know, he was in his environment, his home. You know, it was home to him to be around other talented people. People don't know he was a great artist too. He used to do oil paintings. He was inspired by Bob Ross.
Yeah, and my mom was referencing that. Yeah, yeah. Him and Tony got really into that Bob Ross oil painting, and they both produced quite a few paintings, as she mentioned. Yeah.
Yeah, And, you know, so I just want to say, you know, I appreciate you taking the time. I know you got other callers. I mean, I could talk all day. I have a lifetime of memories of Pete. And
I am so happy you called in, Tim, because I'd say you and probably, and I hope I don't leave someone out and hurt anyone's feelings, but I would say you and Rick Romanelli are probably, I think, like his and Tim Gasper, like you guys are some of the guys that go the furthest back to way back school, playing with him, even as kids, you know?
Yeah, no, I love the man, and you know, I you know, when I saw the news, I the first thing I did was call your mom. I couldn't even believe I remembered her home phone number of all things, and because I you know, I knew that, you know, and I'm just stunned, and the man, you know, outside of music, everyone knows him for his musical stuff, but outside of music, he was a buddy. He was my best friend for a long, long, long time. I was the best man at his wedding that you performed, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I'm never going to forget him. And
I'll never forget you in that tux. You were looking pretty cool in that tux.
Thanks, man. Well, it was a good time for all of us back then. So we were all young and just wide-eyed and innocent at that point. You know, life hadn't grabbed hold of all of us yet. So, but, you know,
yeah.
we all learn as we get older. But I'll let you get to some other callers. I'm going to keep listening and, you know, just stay in touch, Rich, all right?
Oh, thanks. Pete loves you, and we love you. And he was always so happy when you were in town to visit him.
Yeah, I miss him, buddy. That's all I can say. And I was supposed to come up in May to see him, and obviously it didn't work out. So, I appreciate the time, sir.
Oh, I'm so happy you called in. What wonderful stories and what wonderful reminders of some of the other things that we kind of maybe quasi-forgot about, the Governor's School of the Arts and so many of these things. Well, I'm so glad you and your son are listening in, Tim, and thanks for everything you did in Pete's life.
Say hi. Say hi, Rich.
Hi, Rich.
Hi, how are you, buddy?
I'm good.
Yeah, and he just got his first acoustic guitar.
Great. Well, you're going to be a great guitar player like your dad.
Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks for listening.
All right,
your dad, you have one of the greatest daddies in the world.
Thank you. I really like him, too.
Good. He's really funny, too. He can be pretty funny, too, can he?
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah. All right. Well,
all
enjoy
right.
the rest of the show.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. You have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling again, Tim, and God bless you.
Likewise, sir. Thank you very much.
And thank you for listening, everyone. I'm getting messages in that they want to hear the Brothers song. I wrote a new version of the Brothers song for Pete with some updated lyrics in light of Pete's passing. So this is the first time I've done this. Help me. Give me strength, God, to do this. I'm going to try to do it for y'all. Okay, here we go. Putting on my harmonica and my guitar. This is live, first time, low tech, so lower your expectation because I've been pretty, this has been very emotional, but I hope you like it. I just wrote some of these verses for Pete. Together in a small town, I wondered if whether you'd always be around. Now you've gone away as time goes. People break away. I see now that it shows. We used to play as we strode along, both love making music, sometimes a different song. It doesn't really matter now, deep down we're the same. Both got into rock and roll. Childhood dreams of fame, and I remember how you'd follow me around. And I remember Mama used to say, we grow up and grow away. I guess it's true now. Notes flowed fast and free from your fingers through your strings. You let your playing speak for you, and you made your guitar sing. You painted your melodies soaring in your song.
You'll always be baby brother to me, but with angels you now belong. Now you're singing praises in the celestial band. No one can take you from God's love or snatch you from his hand. So rest in peace, my little one. Peter means the rock. You rock to heaven's rhythm now, free from the earthly clock. And I remember how you'd follow me around. And I remember that Mama used to say we'd grow up and grow away. I guess she was right after all. Having everything, the things we missed on because you went away, we'll be able to enjoy on that final day. The saddest day for me was when you went away. I saw your stuff in your room, but I couldn't hear you play. Mama's words came back to me. She said when we were young, take care of your baby brother. You are both my sons, and I remember how you'd follow me around. I remember her, Mama used to say, we'd grow up and grow away. I guess it's true after all. The things on guitar that you could do, I could never do. There were things I enjoyed that might not be for you, but the same God inside of us enables us to play. Keep on playing till time fades away. Remember how you followed me around. Remember, Mama used to say, we'd grow up and grow away. I guess it's true after all. The day has come when I regret every time I couldn't be with my brother, 'cause he won't be there all the time. Richard
is overtaken with emotion right now. so he will have to take a break and be back in just a few moments to the broadcast. Thank you.
In the truest sense of the word.
You're thinking, since the phone lines are all busy, should I or shouldn't I keep calling? Well, if I were you, I'd keep trying. Go ahead and make your day.
Yes, that's be a fool. That's Mickey with that doll. Keep it tuned to Rich Ross alive. Get the massage.
And welcome back to Richie Rossi Live. Wow, thank you for these wonderful, wonderful calls. We've heard from all kind of people. John McMurray, who worked with Pete. My mother has been on the show. Some of his musical compatriots and compadres like Tim Scovran. Mike Hobler has called in, Tim Gasper. If you want to join the show and call in, the guest call-in number is 347-637-2379, and you can join us here. I want to share with you something very interesting that happened just yesterday. Pete had fans all over the world. And he would call me sometimes sad that financially things would be tough, even though he had all these fans all over the place. Tim Scovran referenced that, that people think, because you're in the arts, that everything's so easy all the time. But it's not. It can be very hard. And a woman in Finland who's a fan since the Sanction days and is just, like, devastated about Pete, sent me a message that she went to see some missionaries with an organization called Helping Hands, and Pete was on her mind, and she was kind of almost wanting some sort of sign from Pete, and she went to see these missionaries, and she felt led to go down this certain corridor, and she sent me this picture, and there was a big P, and she thought, oh, that's Pete letting me know he's fine in heaven, and but it gets better. And then she walked a little further and climbed these stairs. And when she climbed the stairs, and she sent me this picture and was led to look at this certain, like, mailbox by the door, it said Rossi, R-O-S-S-I. And she said it just, she got this amazing transcendent feeling. And then she wrote, is it just a coincidence? She said, I almost felt like I had a stroke. Mervy Moylan then sent this in to us for the show. About that time that she sent that in, I had pop up on my computer reading her message and a voicemail from Pete, an old voicemail from Pete that somehow got in my computer, you know, a phone message. And it was very similar, the phone message, to a dream I had. I've had three dreams recently about him. One, he was passing through a door. And then he was happy and joking when he passed through the door and I was with him. And in dream symbology, a lot of times that's heaven going on to eternal life or going on to the next, you know, higher plane with God. And it just popped up. Then I had another dream recently where he was singing to Jesus. And I remember in the dream, the words he was singing were, "Jesus, I come to thee with just one plea. Give me all of thee." He was singing that over and over in my dream. All these beautiful messages coming in. On the Pete Rossi tribute page, there's many, many messages coming in, as well as to my personal for the show and my Facebook messages coming in from people that love Pete. He won the Best Rock Guitarist contest, Avenged Sevenfold, put on. And some of the people said, well, was there any doubt he'd ever win? He was incredible, wasn't he? You know, one of the things that Tim mentioned that a lot of people don't know is that he wasn't just heavy metal. He could play anything very, very well. He liked doing acoustic stuff. There was a band he played with, Overland, and then they had like an acoustic version. And he would invite me to come when I was in town and play some songs and stuff. I'd do some of the acoustic type songs that he loved for me to do, you know, like Angie or some of my stuff I wrote, or Layla, some of those acoustic type of songs. My dad was a really great jazz guitarist, and Pete would tell me like he enjoyed playing the jazz stuff because it was kind of like he was doing the stuff that dad liked to do, you know. There was a lot of stuff. My dad always used to like to play Girl from Ipanema with me when I started playing when I was about 14, playing the jazz stuff with him in the bars in Pittsburgh. But let me give an excerpt of this is Pete doing Girl from Ipanema live with the jazz band. Thank you.
Grandma and Les said, good. Why don't you mosey on over and set that down to Rich Rossi live? When it comes to Christian talk, he'll wrestle you up a show with true grit.
Oh, my, ain't this exciting. We've been waiting for weeks to get on the phone line.
Oh, yeah, the guys on the loading dock keep talking about that dead Martini and Rossi live.
Oh, no, that's Rich Rossi live. Whatever.
You're listening to Richard Rossi Live, our special memorial tribute show to my brother, Pete Rossi. And I want to thank all of you for listening in. We just have some closing moments. If you want to join the show in these closing moments and call in, the number is New York area code 347-637-2379, 347-637-2379. Or you can send in your messages. And this is a beautiful healing, cleansing ritual for us to do this show. You know, people have the rituals when someone goes to heaven where they, you know, let the balloons go up in the sky or they release doves in the air and things like that. But this is kind of something that is our way of doing that, you know, to do that, to remember good, good memories. Here's some messages. Diamante, you are in our hearts and thoughts, Pete. You remain our friend forever. We are in prayer for your family. You and your music will always remain beautiful, beautiful, Diamante. You will never be forgotten. Let me read some of the other messages coming in. This is from Lloyd. Now when I go to Kennywood and ride the Crazy Train, I think about it, Pete, because of Black Sunday. Pete played in a beautiful tribute bands, both. He played in tribute bands for Led Zeppelin. He played in tribute bands, Black Sabbath, Van Halen. So many bands. Hard working. They say James Brown was the hardest working musician in showbiz, but Pete was certainly a hard working musician in showbiz. By the way, that jazz thing you heard, just to give credit where credit is due, the drummer with Pete there was Denny Daly, and also I think on guitar it was Jeff Joy. I don't know who the bass player was, so forgive me for that, but that was the Jazz Dolls, that Girl from Ipanema cut we just heard. And going to line six, and this looks like our wonderful daughter Karis's number. I think Karis is calling in. Is this Karis?
Hey, Dad.
Thank you for calling in.
Mm-hmm. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
You are live being heard around the world in the Pete Rossi, Uncle Pete International Tribute Show. And I love that picture that you have where one of the last pictures with you and Pete and Josh where you're kind of doing the Beavis and Butthead headbanging pose.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was fun. I was listening this whole time to the broadcast. It was really cool hearing everybody's stories about Uncle Pete. I guess I heard that these are the closing moments, so.
Well, we'll extend it for you. We're for you.
Well, that's
we don't.
Okay.
There's no rush.
But I guess I heard that it was closing moments, and I think a lot of the people that were talking to Uncle Pete shared a lot of amazing stories about music. But growing up as his niece, I was exposed to how incredible he was with music, but also his family side. And growing up as his niece, I think really impacted me and taught me the importance of considering others and being carefree. Like Uncle Pete always put people before himself in such a kind way. Like he never to like expect anything in return just because he cared about that person, even if he didn't know them. He just was like so kind, especially to his family. He would do anything for his family, and that really made an impact on me a lot. And also he was like, the way that he joked around, I think shaped me as a person, and I would hope that people will take that influence from Pete into their lives now and forever, that to not take life too seriously, and to enjoy every moment and make a joke of things. Josh and I, Uncle Pete's nephew, we had this tradition somehow that sparked because Uncle Pete liked spicy foods. So anytime we would fly in from California, we would go to the local grocery store, Giant Eagle, and get this ghost pepper hot salsa. It was so spicy, your mouth would burn, like, it would burn your lips. They would be on fire. And we would always, the three of us, we would stay up late and dare each other to see who could eat the most of this hot, spicy salsa on a tortilla chip. So, like, anytime we flew into Pittsburgh from California, we all knew we had to go to Giant Eagle to get the ghost pepper hot salsa and test each other who could eat the, like, most salsa on a tortilla chip. And that was kind of fun. And we would just, like, make jokes about each other or talk about the family until, like, 2, 3 in the morning, eating this hot salsa. Like, we tortured ourselves. I don't know why we did it, but we would do it every time. It was fun. But it was fun. It was fun.
He really loved joking around with you guys. He loved you guys.
Yeah, he was pretty cool. I really enjoyed all the music you were playing a lot. It was bringing back childhood memories. Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, his playing was so great.
Yeah, but I just wanted to call in to say thank you for the show, Dad. I know it was difficult, and for sharing the music and giving people another chance to talk.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it was a really, really good show, and I'm glad we'll have this to remember.
Yeah, that's really nice, because people that missed this will always have this link. The link of this show in perpetuity, people can listen to this and have this wonderful, you know, 90 minutes of people that play with him talking and different music excerpts. This is so wonderful. I think about people, like, close to him, they'll be able to re-listen to this whenever they want, forever, you know?
Yeah, it's really, I really enjoyed it, and it's going to be special for forever, for a long time, for people to look back and listen to. And the stories, and, like, the countless people that called in from all around, and they're sharing stories, like, those are good. You can't always hear those back, and the fact that it's recorded is really powerful. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, recording things is so important, because people can always have this. And also, I'm so grateful everyone that recorded him playing, because now on YouTube there's so many videos of him playing that people can re-see and re-watch. Everything from his solo that got 130,000 views on YouTube that won him the best heavy metal guitarist Avenged Sevenfold contest. All those things, people can watch that again and again, you know, because it was filmed.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm so glad this was recorded.
Yeah.
It's a really, really good show. But I just wanted to call in and just say, like, hi and thank you. And the funny, hot, spicy salsa story.
Thank you. We love you.
I love you too, Dad.
Thank you for calling. You're an amazing daughter. Thank you.
Thanks. You're an amazing dad.
Okay, bye-bye.
I love you. Bye.
Love you. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the show. And a few quotes, a few messages. Drummer Vic Minella worked with Pete over the years. He says, Pete was quite simply the best guitarist I have ever been on stage with. He pushed me to be better. Guitarist Chuck Robinson of the band Bad Mother Trucker sums it up. He says, Pete was as humble as he was talented, a true musician. It makes me think of a verse in the Proverbs. It says, a man's gifts shall make room for him and set him before kings. And Pete always let his gifts and talents speak for him and make room for him. Photographer Cindy Roach shot a lot of the photos of Pete, a lot of great photos out there. She says, Pete was one of those musicians who was super talented but never had an ego about his abilities. Mean Street vocalist Robbie Myers says, Pete was the most humble musician. His mind was a computer when it came to anything music. Pete was my brother on and off stage, and I'm going to miss him. Make no mistake, when he put that piece of wood with six strings on around his neck, there's only one word that could describe him: phenomenal. I miss and I love you, my brother, as you now live forever with Jesus and his angels in heaven. That's Robbie Myers from the Mean Street Band, one of the bands Pete played with towards the end. He was in at least, I might be missing some, but he was in at least five bands. Even in his final months, he was playing with five bands. Mean Street, a Zeppelin tribute band, Black Sunday, Reverence toured York. But he had a tour set to go, I think it was next month in York with Reverence. That was one of the last things him and I talked about on the phone, was that York tour, which I'm not going to be able to do. That tour has been postponed. But I think my brother Tony is going to go through with that tour, playing drums, and later in the year, I think, hopefully, and in Pete's honor, to still do that tour. There's another band he played with at the end, too. Drawing a blank, I don't want to forget anybody, but he played in like a half dozen bands. There's three tribute bands, Zeppelin, Van Halen, and Black Sunday, and then he was in Reverence. Oh, Jazz Dolls, I just played them, Jazz Dolls. I know I'm forgetting some, but, I mean, he worked very hard. He played so many styles, so many bands. Wow. Well, what a show this has been. We've kind of went over time here. I said it would be a 90-minute show, but that was really cool to talk to our daughter, Karis, who's an amazing young woman. And, of course, Pete was her uncle. She knew him growing up all the time since she was little. Well, I just want you all to know, too, that there are people that love Pete and his music that may have not been able to listen live to our broadcast. However, this very link is now good in perpetuity to re-listen to the show, as Kara said. Forever and ever, this link is good. This show exists, and you can replay it anytime you want if you just want to remember Pete. Thank you, everybody, for calling in. Thank you for everything you shared, and thank you for remembering Pete. God bless each and every one of you. Go with God and be blessed.